Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll start our commentaries for Quran chapter 6. As always, Muslims claim that the Quran is the perfect word of Allah. There is no contradiction in it, as they go on and on bragging about their book. Now let us look together at a contradiction concerning the infidels or the polytheists, those who worship more than one God, and their communication on the day of the judgment with Allah Himself. First, let us look together at what is written in Quran chapter 6 verses 22 and 23, and then we're going to look at Quran chapter 4 and verse 42 to see the clear contradiction in the word of Allah of the Quran. In Quran chapter 6 verses 22 and 23, we read the following: "And a day we will gather them together. Then we will say to those who are polytheists, where are your partners whom you were claiming? Then their sedition was not except that they said, we swear by Allah, our Lord, we were not polytheists." Notice here, the conversation is between Allah and the polytheist, some infidels. And as you listen to the conversation between Allah and those people, you think that Allah is just a normal human speaking with some people, and people can lie to him even on the day of judgment. He is telling them, where are your partners? And they said, we swear by Allah, our Lord. Excuse me, what? They are talking to Allah and they looking at him and they say, we swear by Allah, our Lord. First of all, if they are really polytheists, then they could not lie in the face of God and tell him that we swear by you, you are our Lord. That is beyond my imagination. I don't know how Muhammad put these verses in the Quran, claiming it to be the word of Allah given to him through Jibreel. But that's not the problem. I will share with you the problem a little bit later after we read the following passage. That is Quran chapter 4 and verse 42. For there we read, "On that day, those who became infidels and disobeyed the messenger, they will wish that the earth was leveled with them, but they will not hide any saying from Allah." And here is the interpretation according to Ar-Razi to these two contradictory verses. There was a man by the name Abd al-Razzaq who came to Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, and he said, "I saw things are different in the Quran." In other words, he is saying, "I see contradictions in the Quran." So Ibn Abbas said, "Show me what you have." So that man, beginning first by reading what we just read in Quran chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, where there we read that the polytheist did not say to Allah anything about their partners, those whom they used to worship with Allah. They simply lied to Allah by telling him that they were not polytheists and they believed in Allah and Allah is their Lord. Let me read this verse again. "And a day we will gather them together. Then we will say to those who are polytheists, where are your partners whom you were claiming? Then their sedition was not except that they said, we swear by Allah, our Lord, we were not polytheists." But in Quran 4:42, we read again, "On that day, those who became infidels and disobeyed the messenger, they will wish that the earth was leveled with them, but they will not hide any saying from Allah," which means they will confess everything about being polytheists, that is by having partners with Allah. Now, when Ibn Abbas discovered this contradiction, he came up with a great answer, like all Muslim scholars even today do. Ibn Abbas said, "Well, here is the answer for this problem. They did not speak with their tongues, but Allah will make their hands and limbs speak." And once again here, I must say, How did Ibn Abbas know that? Did he speak with Allah? Was he there in the future which had not come yet? It does not make any sense. But that's how Muslims know how to come up with an answer for every problem in the Quran. Yes, in Quran 6, 22 and 23, those polytheists will lie and deny that they have any partners. But in Quran 4, 42, they confess everything, which makes more sense than in Quran chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Because there is no way for any person who have logic or common sense that he may think that Allah himself, the God of the universe, is speaking to some infidels or some polytheists, and he asks them, where are those whom you worship beside me? And they will lie to him in his face by saying, we did not have any partners. You are our Lord. You are our God. The passage in Quran 4, 42 and 43 makes more sense, because there they will confess everything. They will tell Allah, yes, we have sinned, we have worshipped all these other gods with you. But the problem is, how in the world their hands and their limbs will speak instead of their tongues? Well, let's move on to another problem in the Quran, which, by the way, is repeated throughout the Quran. Muhammad did not put two names of all the names which he copied from the Bible in the Quran accurately. He always changed names. And I don't even know why he does that, except that he was literally ignorant of the Bible, or those who helped him to write the stories of the Quran, which he copied from biblical account, did not know the actual names of these characters. And that is what we discovered when we read Quran chapter 6 and verse 74. For there we read, and when Abraham said to his father Azar, do you take idols for God? Surely I see you and your people are in obvious error. First of all, the conversation is completely wrong, as we're going to see a little bit later from the Genesis account. For here we see Abraham is a man who is living right before Allah, worshipping nothing but Allah, when in reality we see in the Quran, in the following contradiction, that Abraham did worship others than Allah, and he was a polytheist. And that is what we read in verses 76 and 78. But for now, Abraham is telling his father Azar, you and your people are worshiping idols, and I see that you are in a great error. Wait a minute, who is Abraham's father? Azar. Who is Azar? That is Abraham's father. Says who? Says Allah in the Quran, or maybe Jibreel and Muhammad. That is a mistake. Why? Because the real name of Abraham's father was Terah, not Azar. And that is what we read in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 26. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Notice here, the name of Abram's father is Terah, not Azar. But Muslim scholars, as always, they will try to find out a fabrication to tell you, well, that is actually his name. You see, Abram's father have two names. One is Terah and the other one is Azar. Or they will tell you another opinion, that Abram used to call his father Azar, which is a name meaning an old man who starts hallucinating, losing his mind. As we read that in the stories of the prophets, as written by Abdullah Abdul Wahhab al-Najjar in the chapter, The Story of Abraham. But here is what Muslims do not know, that when we read the true biblical account, we know that Abraham's actual name was Abram, and God changed it to Abraham. Abram is the father of one, Abraham is the father of many. And that took place when God made a covenant with Abram. And that is exactly what we see happening in the end of the life of Abraham. He had Ishmael from Hagar, the father of Ishmaelites. He had Isaac from Sarah, the father of all the Jewish people. And he also had a bunch of other children from many concubines whom he married after the death of Sarah, like Keturah, the mother of all the Arabs, Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 to 6. So Abraham was no longer Abram, the father of one, but the father of many, as God fulfilled that promise to him in his life.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now, what about Abram's father, Mr. Azar, who used to worship idols? Is this true? I know that in Abraham's days, people worship idols and they sacrifice their children to these idols. But was Terah an idol worshiper as Muhammad claimed in the Quran in verse 74? Obviously, the answer is no. Muhammad, once again, is wrong. Why? If you go with me to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31, the Bible states, "And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there." In verse 32, we read, "So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Did you notice here? Terah, the real name for the father of Abraham, took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, and Lot. They were going to the land of Canaan. On their way to the land of Canaan, Terah died at the age of 205 years. So he was not of those who stayed in the land of Chaldeans in Iraq with those who were worshiping idols. The problem we have here is that when those who helped Muhammad to write the story of Abraham in the Quran read that God called Abram from the land of the Chaldeans, we read in verse 31, "Ur of the Chaldeans." What does the word "Ur" mean? The word "Ur" have the meaning of city, but it also has the meaning of fire and light, or the light which comes from fire. And whoever helped Muhammad to make up the story of Abraham in the Quran thought that actually Allah took Abraham from the fire of the Chaldeans instead of the city of Chaldeans. Notice the word "Ur." We read it in other names of cities in the Bible, like Urushalim, the city of Shalim, Jerusalem in English. We never say that people will live in the fire of Shalim, but they live in the city of Shalim. And that's why Muhammad made up the story about Abraham being thrown into the fire. And that is because he broke the idols which his father and the people of his father were worshiping. It's a made-up story, as the rest of the Quran is simply made-up stories, which is simply corruption to the true biblical account. Now let me share with you about Abram, whom Muslim claims that he never worshipped anything but Allah, to be simply an error. For Allah in the Quran declared to us in verses 76 to 78 that Abraham actually worshipped the sun and the moon and the stars. Here is what Allah stated in these verses. "So when the night covered him, he saw a planet. He said, 'This is my Lord.' So when it set, He said, I do not love the setting one. So when he saw the moon rising, he said, this is my Lord. So when it set, he said, if my Lord does not guide me, I will surely be of the erring people. So when he saw the sun rising, he said, this is my Lord, this is bigger. So when it set, he said, O my people, surely I am innocent of what you partner. Surely I turn my face to him who has created the heavens and the earth, Hanifan, and I am not of the polytheists. Notice here, the Quran story is very clear. Anyone who read Arabic or English and has logical understanding to these words will discover that Abraham worshipped three different things. First, he worshipped a planet. And when that planet set or disappeared, he turned to another thing to worship, which is the moon. And when the moon set, he turned to the next thing to worship, which is the sun. As he discovered it to be brighter, bigger, it must be the God whom he ought to worship. But when the sun set, now he turned his face and his belief to worship Allah, the God of Islam. I'm sorry to tell you, this story is a great evidence that Abraham was an idol worshiper. He actually partnered these three objects which he worshipped with Allah, which makes him just like everybody else in Iraq. But at the same time, the story is so ridiculous. Why? Because we do not know what was the age of Abraham at the time of worshipping these objects, the star and the moon and the sun. But no matter what age we can give to him, he must be a grown-up young man, because the language which he spoke in these verses gave us the internal evidence he must be a grown-up boy. And if that's the case, who would think with any logic or common sense that Abraham, for the first time in his life, came out of the tent of his father and his mother to see that planet? And surprise, surprise, that planet disappeared when the moon shined. Wait a minute, had he ever looked at the sky before? Okay, well, we'll let this one go. But then he worshipped the moon. Surprise, surprise, when the sun rise in the morning and the moonlight disappeared, when the moon set, he now discovered that the moon could not be God. But in the following day, he worshipped the sun. But wait a minute, did he know that during the night when he worshipped the plant and when he worshipped the moon, that the sun was not there? Now he saw the sun. And he saw it is bigger and it's brighter. It must be the God he need to worship. And he worshipped it. And surprise, surprise, it got dark at night. And that's when he discovered that the sun could not be the God who is worthy of his worship. As if Abraham never saw the sun before set at night, or it get dark at night. Even though when that first object he worshipped, the plant, was there. And when the moon was there, the sun was not there. So there's no logic in the story. It's just Muhammad putting words together to make the poetry of the Quran. And he also made a boo-boo while he's making this poetry of the Quran. Why? Because while we read in verse 74, Abraham declares that his father was in error because he was worshiping idols. Here we see in the found verses 76, 77, and 78, Abraham himself was worshiping the planet and the moon and the sun. In any way, shape, or form, we have to realize that Abraham was an idol worshiper. Maybe his father's people were worshiping different gods, but Abraham worshiped something else beside Allah, which makes him a polytheist. Now let us look at some of the opinions given by so-called Muslim scholars. Some said Abraham made that mistake before he came to the age of understanding. He was just a little boy. And the proof of that, it is when he said, unless Allah guide me, I will be of the erring people. But others said he was actually mature, a grown-up man. And he did that to show his people about their errors, how they were worshiping the stars and other planets. And these are not who to worship. And I'm really shocked here. Which one of these two opposite interpretations is right. Was he a little boy or was he a grown-up man? Did he do it because he could not understand what he's doing? Or he did it to help his people to get out of the worship of the sun and the moon and the stars? This is a problem. The contradictions of so-called Muslim scholars. Other opinion was he did that because he was questioning what his people were doing. That is the worship of objects beside Allah. Other opinion was, actually, he proved by that these are not true gods, because if they were gods, the planet, the moon, and the sun would not have set. Wow, what a great fabrication. And Muslim scholars go on and on and on to give us different opinions about why this is written in the Quran. But once again, I will take you to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31, where we know that Abraham and his father were worshiping the true God of the Bible. And the proof of that they left their people as God called Abraham to the land of Canaan. As God made promise to Abraham, he would give him that land. And God also made the promise to him that he will be a blessing to the whole world through his seed, singular seed. That is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He believed in one God. He obeyed the one God. And he worshiped the one God. There was no reason for Abraham to fall in sin, worshiping false gods, or even talk about it, just to convince his people that what they were worshiping were not true gods. There was no reason for Abraham to worship the false gods, just to show his people that they are worshiping false gods. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.